Paul is over at Rockingham Road this morning, if anybody was wondering where he was. So heard I was coming here, I think, and arranged a booking elsewhere. Welcome, disciples of Christ. Disciples of the fisherman, of the teacher, of the healer, of the Messiah, of the risen Lord, of the one truth. Welcome, disciples of Christ, as we gather to hear his word. And we're going to begin by singing, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. We said we gather to hear God's word. Let us pray. Our Lord God, as we gather, we pray that you will speak to us here. Lord, we are sorry for our sometimes discipleship. Sometimes we're too embarrassed to express love to others. Sometimes too centered, self-centered to share. Sometimes too talkative to listen. Sometimes too stubborn to say, I'm sorry. Sometimes too righteous to say, I forgive you. O Lord, as we come this morning, we open our hearts to you. We confess our failings to you. We ask your forgiveness. We ask your compassion upon us. We're sorry, Lord, for our sometimes discipleship. Please forgive us. Amen. We're now going to have our first reading from Matthew chapter 28. And I think Hayley is going to Read for us.
The Great Commission. Then the disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said,
"All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the word of the Lord.
Go and make disciples, says in the reading. How many of you are members of a club or society or an organization? Yeah, many of us are, aren't we? And how do they grow? They grow because we talk to others about what we do, don't they? You know, the best way of an organization growing is because its members go out and tell others. And they, you know, when somebody says, "What did you do at the weekend?" You say, "Well, I went maybe bowling," or you said, "I went to watch the rugby or the cricket or whatever." And by doing that, we suddenly discover what others are doing. They discover what we're doing. We discover things that we have in common, and then we end up going and joining in with people. And Jesus, in his words that we heard read by Hayley, is telling all of his disciples to go and tell other people about the good news. So that's the thought that we start with today, that Jesus was just telling everybody to do what is natural, which is to go and tell others about what we've been doing so that they can get interested and want to come and do it as well. Our second song is Freely, Freely. God forgave my sin in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Our Lord, we thank you that you have told us and that you have given us freely of yourself. It is free to us, but it was at great cost to yourself. The cost of being nailed to a cross. O Lord, help us to give you thanks for all the good things that you have given to us over the years. It is so easy for us to get concerned, to get worried about the things that we do not have, about the things that we would like to have. We get consumed by the jealousy of looking at what others have and wishing it for ourselves. But Lord, help us to count our blessings, to look at the good things. For our homes, our loved ones, those we love and those who love us, those who are willing to support us. Help us, Lord, to allow others to help us when we are in need. Not to be too proud. Help us to show others you through the way that we live. And Lord, we thank you that we are able to come to you today. We give thanks in Jesus' name, who freely gave it to us. Amen. Our second reading is from Romans chapter 8.
Chapter 8, verse 14 to 17. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him.
All who are led by the Spirit are children of God. The only qualification for being children of God is that we're led by the Spirit. Jesus gave that great command to love one another. He told us to love our neighbour, but he also told us to love one another, to love each other. And Christ, the Church of Christ, our brothers and sisters in Christ, being children of God, there is no distinguishing between us. Whether we're male or female, old or young, black or white, whether we live in a comfortable country like this, or we live in countries where It is much tougher to live. Christ calls us to love each other, because in him there is no east or west. And that's the song we're going to sing now. In Christ there is no east or west. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. In today's climactic scene from the Gospel of Matthew, we receive a foretaste of the final glorious coming of the Son of Man. It was a farewell to his disciples. The 11 disciples had gone to Galilee, and Matthew tells us they'd gone to the mountain which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Still, the disciples had doubts. And even today, Jesus' disciples have doubts. If everybody here was able to say that throughout their Christian lives they had never had doubt, I would be very, very surprised. We have all had doubts. But Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore. So he is telling his disciples to go and live the gospel. He's not telling them to hide themselves away. He is not telling them to lock themselves in the upper room like they had been doing. He is telling them to go out, and they are going out with his authority. He is also telling us to go out. He told them to teach the new disciples that they make to obey all the commands I have given you. So we are being called to do this. We are being called to go. Because this is a command of Jesus, to go and make disciples of all nations. We need to remember the commandments of Jesus are the standard of Christian conduct. Jesus knew that his disciples might be discouraged by the immensity of the task he commanded them and he commands us to carry out. So there is a promise. The promise that Jesus says, I am with you always to the close of the age. Jesus is telling all his followers everywhere and for all time to be a mission of love to the world. More than being on a mission, more than merely carrying out a mission, we are the mission. Being on a mission, being the mission of God, isn't something that we do from 9 to 5 and then we go home and relax. It is something we are called to be, inherently part of us. It's not enough just to feed and clothe our children. It's not enough to just feed the hungry and clothe the naked and visit the sick and the imprisoned. These things are necessary and we should never minimize their importance. But to make our mission ring loudest and clearest, those who look at us must see in us that deep commitment to God through Jesus Christ. Once upon a time, a frog went to a fortune teller to gain a little foretaste of the future. We all would like to know what the future holds, wouldn't we? The soothsayer gazed into her crystal ball and said, "A beautiful young woman will come into your life. She will find you fascinating. She will want to get close to you. She will want to know all about you." The frog was greatly intrigued. "Where will this take place?" he asked. "In her biology class," the fortune teller replied. Clearly the frog was in for a big disappointment. There's an oratorio, Don Nobis Pacem, which is by Ralph Vaughan Williams. And it's set to selections from the poetry of Walt Whitman. It opens with a biting question, an expression of disappointment in the church. Who cares for whom the bell tolls if inside there's nothing but the cold dust of men's forgotten souls? Don't point your steeple's finger at nothing in the sky and tell me that's the reason I should believe in your vanity. Don't try to convince me that a stained glass view of life gives it any more reality or purpose. We have our sermons, our hymns, and our structures. But have they lost their meaning? Our morality, our doctrine, our institutions, have they become obsolete? Many people these days think, speak, and write about the Church of God as if that is what it consists of. There is a pastor who travelled a lot, and he said, "I encounter this feeling of disappointment in the church wherever I go, and it's begun to change part of my life. When people ask me what I do, I reply, 'I'm a preacher.' Oh." Why do I say I'm a preacher? Oh. Because I've discovered in the recent months, whenever I say I'm a preacher, they say, "Oh." That oratorio, which starts with that expression of disappointment, ends with a great expression of hope and affirmation. The words beautifully describing a tree with its roots deep, clinging to the source of life. The disciples who had been with Jesus for the whole time of his ministry continued to be confused and disappointed about their future after the crucifixion. There were those moments when he appeared to them, but still they didn't really know what to do. They didn't know what to expect. It's very difficult to really understand what they did expect. All the Jewish nation in those days before Christ, they had been brought up to expect that the Messiah would bring a fundamental change to society, where the Jewish nation would throw off their oppressors, the Messiah would be a new king who would lead them in the world as a mighty nation. Their whole mindset was about the Messiah being a mighty earthly king. He turned out to be something entirely different. We can have our hopes and expectations built up about so many things, can't we? And when they don't turn out to be what we expect, we end up disappointed and we grumble and moan. You know, we're going to go on the holiday of a lifetime. And we get all excited when we're packing and everything else. Sandra's going on a holiday of a lifetime this week. But you've got lots of expectations for your holiday. Sun, sea. Refreshment, everything else. And we hope that's what you receive, Sandra. But sometimes the reality doesn't turn out to be what we expect. And that was the problem that the disciples had, that the reality wasn't turning out to be what they had expected. And they were confused. Remember at one point after that, in that period, they were sort of sitting around debating it. They met with Jesus and those occasions, but they were still debating it. And Peter said, I'm going fishing. The importance of our mission is that we know a lot more about what to expect because of Jesus' death and resurrection. We've got 2,000 years of history to look back on. Having said that, mankind, humankind, we haven't actually covered ourselves in glory over 2,000 years in actually carrying out that commandment that Jesus said about loving one another, loving our neighbour, and going and making disciples in his name. Over the centuries, all too often, the church has become a group of people who are, in that phrase, well-hackneyed phrase, I'm all right, Jack, pull up the ladder. The importance isn't that something happened back then that brought the church into being as a self-conscious community of faith, but that it should be happening now to us in this place. Here and now, we can open ourselves up to receive the same tremendous power that transformed a confused and disappointed band of procrastinators into a disciplined community of faith that turned the world upside down. Apart from obedience to the word of God, we worship him in vain. Apart from obedience to the word of God, we will live a going-to-do life, never a having done life. What have you done for Christ? What has Christ done for you? All too often, if people are asked the question, what have you done for Christ? They will come out with all sorts of bits and pieces. And it can become a session of trying to show how much better we have been at the Christian life than others around us. I'm going to be brutally honest here. I have been absolutely useless and terrible at being a Christian during my life. I can look back at things in my life which I am disappointed and embarrassed about, and I know I should have done differently, and I should have done so much better. The only reason I can be here talking to you today is, however, because Jesus doesn't just look at the past and how we have been mediocre Christians at best. He also looks to the future and to what we can do for him in the future. You have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you have received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children, now call him Abba, Father. For all who are led by the Spirit are children of God, and we as children of God, as disciples of God, are called by God to go loving each other into the world, making disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus has promised to be with us. We are called to love one another. And who is our neighbour? Jesus made very clear that our neighbour is whoever we meet, whoever is in need, who we can help. The biggest sin is failing to help somebody who we can help. Failing to help somebody because we say they don't deserve to be helped. Jesus loved us to the extent of allowing himself to be nailed to a cross. How much do you love your neighbour? How much do you love Christ? How much do you trust in him to be with you always, to give you the strength, the authority to go and make disciples of all nations? Let's hope and pray that we can go from this place showing that in Christ there is no east or west, north or south, just a love for everyone. We're now going to sing a song, Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Go tell it on the mountain. going to now come and bring our prayers of intercession to God. We obviously have a number of things to pray for. We continue to pray for Marion. Are there any other particular matters anybody would like to bring to us? Christians in Iran, we were asked to pray for.
The school in Wales had a study on the
week. Yeah. Let us pray. Our Lord God, we come to you now, bringing before you those who are in need. We remember those who are grieving at this time because of the loss of loved ones. We remember Marion especially. Oh Lord, it is good to give thanks for the life of those who have worked as Christians in your land and locality. But it is still hard when they depart before us. We pray for those who grieve. We pray, Lord, feeling despair at the violence that is in our world and our country. Oh Lord, we're ask this morning to remember that school in Wales. A 13-year-old girl who has resorted to violence with a knife. We don't know what she was thinking, why, and what led her to the actions that she took. We pray for those who were stabbed and injured, those who were traumatized by witnessing it. But we also lift that girl up to you in love. We pray that you will be with her. And we pray that those who are looking after her and will be working with her, that she might be helped, that she might be recognized as a victim as well as the others. For Lord, no 13-year-old should ever be in the position of thinking that they need to resort to carrying a knife and using it, whatever the circumstances they are in. And Lord, we look further afield to the violence in our world. The situation in Iran, Palestine, the Middle East, Jerusalem. Oh Lord, we just pray that your peace might be rained down upon those situations. We remember Ukraine and Russia. Oh Lord, just so few years ago when the Berlin Wall came crashing down, we thought our world had changed. But it seems that it has just reverted back to a world of selfishness and hate, of not being content with what we have, but wanting to grab from others what they have, and not being prepared to give to others what we have so much of. Lord, you are a God of hope. O Lord, bring hope back into our world and the fulfillment of hope through your love. When you were on this earth, you reached out to the blind, the deaf, the lame. You spoke and listened gladly to anyone who came to you. And your word on the cross was, Father, forgive them. And to the thief alongside you, you said, today you will be with me in paradise. O Lord, you still come to your people in this world, but you come through us. Help us to listen when we should listen. Help us to speak when we should speak. Help us to stand up for others when others are unable to stand up for themselves. Help us to truly look to you, to call you Abba Father, and then live like your children, that we might live to make you proud of us. Because we truly show your love one for another. Amen. We finish with another hymn reminding us of God's command, Christ's command to his disciples. Go forth and tell, O Church of God, awake.
Let us go out and make disciples of all nations, knowing that Jesus is with us now and tomorrow and always. And let us share the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. Amen.